get ready to stand up for our very favorite, very special, Dr. Rita Marie. She's, as you know, a chiropractor with over 20 years of experience. She has helped thousands of patients, including myself, and some of you as well. Some of you are currently in her programs and understand what it is that she does. She has, not only is a chiropractor, but has a master's degree in clinical nutrition, also computer science. She has studied acupuncture. Actually, if there is anything to study that has to do with holistic health, quite seriously, I've worked with Rita Marie for 2 years. I love her. She's the real thing. She's who we all want to be when we grow up. And now, stand up and let's give a big hand for Dr. Rita Marie Lascalzo. Hello.
Wow. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Can you all hear me? Yay. Thank you. I'm so excited to have you all here. I've seen so many of your names and little pictures on Facebook, but to see you all in person is just a delight. So I want to applaud you and congratulate you for doing this, for like taking the time out of your busy schedules and traveling. Some people from, I know, all the way from Alaska. So yeah, where are you? There you are. Yeah. So I just applaud you. And I know how much time and effort it takes to come to a seminar. And I want this to be like outstanding for you. Totally outstanding. I was saying to them earlier, I said, I have all these notes, I have everything I want to cover, and we have this big book. I said, seriously, I could stand up here for 3 days unscripted and just talk. And it would be fine, because you'd get, because I could do that, but I wanted to make sure I didn't miss anything. So you've got a lot to cover. But before we do that, I want to get to know who you are. You'll get to know who I am, and you'll hear me, but I want to hear a little bit about you. So first thing I always love to do is I want to find out how far people came. I know you came from Alaska, yay. So who's from right here in Texas? Whoa, big crowd, yay. Okay, so stand up if you are from one of the coasts. The East Coast or the West Coast. So what do we have? Like Florida, yay. San Diego. New York. New York. Maryland. Georgia. LA. Miami. Boca Raton, Florida, yay. LA. Massachusetts, wow, that is far. Morgan Hill, yay, all right, we got, cool. So everybody else that's not from Texas, stand up. All right, we have a lot. So you're from Alaska, you're not standing up. Well, that's a coast, I guess. So just shout out the places. Toronto. Toronto, yeah, who else is Canadian? We have a bunch of Canadians, cool. Virginia, Kansas, Minnesota. Oh, you must be so happy. We got a hot spell this weekend just for you guys, because it was freezing here. It was 35 the other day. You would have been in shorts, right? Boulder, woo. Alabama, Minnesota, ooh. Oklahoma. Great. Anybody I missed? Kansas. We have two people from Kansas. Very cool. So you're going to get a chance to connect and mingle. We have meals and all kinds of stuff. So it'd be really great for you to seek out people in your area, because it's nice to have local support for what you're doing and people that connect with you. So the other thing I like to find out is we're all health practitioners of some sort. And that may mean that you're the health practitioner for your family and friends, and everybody comes to you and you're like, I just need a little bit of formal training. And some of you have formal training, like nurses and physician's assistants and all that. So I'll just call out a few of the professions, and I want to get a sense of who's in the room. So who here is a nurse or a nurse practitioner? Raise your hand or stand up. Ooh, we have a number of those. Great. Okay, great. So who is acupuncturist? Any acupuncturist in the room? We have Nina. Anybody else? Okay. How about naturopath? We have a naturopath. Yes. Who's a medical doctor? Anybody a medical doctor? Back here? PA. Physician's assistant. Fantastic. Who's a chiropractor? Anybody a chiropractor? Fantastic. Who's a health coach, like an IIN or other trained? Absolutely. We got a lot of those. Yes. And what did I miss? Did I miss anybody? Who's here just because you want to be like the best doctor, practitioner you can be for your family? Woo-hoo! All right. Great. Fantastic. Fantastic. So you're all in the right place. And I'm excited to have you here. And something brought you to want to take care of other people. I mean, you could be a truck driver. You could be, you know, some of a CEO of a finance company. There's a lot of professions you could have, but you chose to be in a profession where you're going to be nurturing and helping and bringing other people. And we all know that the state of our healthcare system in the world is a little bit broken, right? Who thinks that it's not? Okay, and we have the most amazing gift here to be able to do that and change it. Now, one at a time, it's pretty darn hard. But as a collective, as a group, and the more of us that are out there saying, you know what, this healthcare system isn't working, and we want to do something different, and we want to share with you how we can get healthy, be healthy, stay healthy, without the intervention of these pharmaceuticals that really don't do the trick. Now, don't get me wrong, there's times when Western medicine is amazing, right? I broke my arm. Who here didn't know that? Yeah, everybody knew that. I blogged it and everything. I broke my arm, and I was like, oh, I just dislocated my arm. No big deal. Get it back. And like a month later, I'm going, yeah, I'm going to get the motion back in my arm, and it's going to get back. And look, I can do this now. And I finally got an x-ray, and a piece of a bone had broken off, displaced itself, flipped forward, and was attaching itself to the wrong place on my arm. And a lot of folks, well-meaning and all, who read my newsletter said, I know this great energy medicine, and here, take this to heal the bone. And I was saying, well, I don't want it to heal too fast because it's in the wrong place. So there's times when energy medicine, nutrition, all that, it just doesn't do the trick, and that's where Western medicine is superb, right? If I have something like that, I'm not going to go to an acupuncturist and say, can you like needle me and make the bone move back in place? So I had to do it, and I was very grateful to have a really skilled surgeon that knew what he was doing, and I did it with the least intervention. So I was sharing with someone the other day my vision of the world of what healthcare is, and it's that most people, most practitioners are doing what we are doing, and we're learning to go deeper with, which is helping people to change the way they think and breathe and eat and move so that they can change how it manifests. But also, and that they could go to their average practitioner, and that's what they tell them, oh, you have these headaches, so tell me a little bit about what you eat. Well, how's your thoughts? How is your stress? And that they delve in. But also, that from a Western medicine approach, so if I had done this to my arm and I went in there, wouldn't it be nice if that surgeon said to me in our pre-op kind of thing, was like, okay, that's great, you have to have surgery, there's no way, but here's what I want you to do beforehand to prepare your body, and here's some homeopathics that you can take, or here's some herbs that you can, and here's what you can apply to your arm, and when after we do the surgery, we're going to put you on an IV, and there's going to be vitamin C in the IV, and that's going to prevent infection, and that's going to help you heal faster and grow stronger tissue, and then afterwards, I want you to start taking some ginger and turmeric and some, you know, blah, 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 blah. Wouldn't that be an amazing world? So it's not that we don't want Western medicine, right? We do. We just don't want sledgehammers when a little, you know, spoon would do, or a fork, right? And that's why we're here, because we're dedicated to seeing a world like that. I have that as my vision. So what I would like all of you to do is just take a moment. You each have a pen in your bag, or you probably brought pens, and there's plenty of room in your book to just find it at the back of the welcome letter or something, and jot down a few words about, number one, why are you here? What do you want to get out of this weekend, our weekend together? What prompted you to get on a plane and come here? Okay, that's one. And then What prompted you to want to be a health practitioner to begin with? What prompted you? What is it that you're burning goal? For some, it might be, I lost my mother, and I lost my sister, and I lost my other person, and I want to learn how we can create better health. And for others of you, it's much different. So go ahead and jot that down. Okay, just kind of wrap up your thoughts. So hopefully maybe you got some insights, maybe it was just something that you've been had on your mind, and sometimes it just takes writing something down to make it real, and I find that to be real useful. So now, the other way to make it real is to share it, okay? So we have too many people to just have everybody share it out in the public. We'll be here till 4 in the afternoon if we do that. So what I'd love you to do is we're going to have you get up, because you're going to be sitting all weekend long. So get up, put your book on your chair, and then mingle around the room and find three people to introduce yourself to. So my name is Mary, and I'm from Oklahoma. And let them know what kind of health practitioner. I'm here to help my family and friends. I'm a nurse practitioner, whatever that is. And what I really want to get out of this weekend is, and the reason I became this kind of practitioner is. And just, you know, take a couple of minutes per person, one person share, a minute, and then find somebody new. And go around and find three people. That way you're going to get to know some of the people that you're in the room with. You may find somebody who's in your backyard, and you may make fast friends, people that you'll have friends for life. So go ahead and get up and do that, and we'll let you know. You'll have about 5 minutes to do that. So if you need three people in 5 minutes. Right. How was that? Did that feel good to share? You get to know some people? Just one? Okay. Great. Awesome. So what I would like to do is see if we have one or two brave souls who would like to share that in front of the group, and we'll have a mic runner who'll come around with a mic and allow you to do that. Does anybody want to share? Huh? Share yourself. Yeah, share yourself. Anybody? Raise your hand. Okay, right here. And when you get up, when you get the mic, if you can hold it so that, so you're speaking into it, okay. That's great. And then introduce yourself and then tell us, you know, the whole spiel. Introduce who you are, where you're from, and what kind of practitioner you are or are striving to be, and what you want to get out of this weekend. Okay.
Hi, everyone. If I haven't met you yet, I'm Megan. I'm from Boulder, Colorado. And yay! I'm happy to be here where it's warm. I am a health coach. And so my focus is I really want to work with women with hormonal imbalances and fertility issues. So I'm here hoping to learn as much as I possibly can about hormones, because I really, truly feel strongly in my heart and passionate about women being able to know their bodies and be connected with their hormones and their bodies and be able to have a healthy, natural pregnancy and kind of balance out those hormones and feel glowing and happy again and connect to themselves. So I'm hoping to get as much as I can out of this weekend.
Yay, thank you. Welcome. Who else? Right here, right up in the front. And I apologize if I don't call you by name, but I can't read from that far away, so.
Hi, everyone. I'm Kathy Russell. I'm from just north of Toronto, a small town called Bolton. I'm a registered holistic nutritionist. I think it's comparable to the IAN, whatever. I graduated from the Canadian School of Natural Nutrition about 8 years ago.
Oh, great.
And so I am. I work with families, helping them to eat better. And the way I started was with my son, and this happens a lot with your families, sort of pushing you in the direction. He had some had problems feeding him, and he had some allergies. So he has a nut allergy and other sensitivities as well. So I went to school because the medical system didn't help me very much to get more information. And what happened in the process is that he actually has been my biggest teacher. So there was a light bulb that went off after the years of frustration trying to get him to eat better and provide, you know, the right things for him. So, but now, so what I do is I teach other families to, moms come to me in general to help their families eat better. So it's great. And, but what has happened is I see that women don't take care of themselves. So that's where I want to find more information out to help them to sort of bridge the gap in women's health, because they're taking care of everyone else and not themselves. So, so that's why I'm
here. That's great. Yeah. That's great. Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you. That's awesome. Anybody else? One more person? Okay.
I don't know where you want me to stand.
That's great.
I'm Venus DeMarco. And I'm here because I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2009, and I healed completely natural. So it was stage 3 with a 9-centimeter tumor, no chemo, no radiation, no lumpectomy, nothing. And Rita Marie has taught me so much that I've been able to help other people. So I'm a health coach, and my big message is prevention. So I'm out speaking the word of we can prevent a lot of diseases if you know how the body works, instead of waiting till you get sick and then have to get better.
Right.
So if I've learned so much from her already, what am I going to learn this weekend?
Thank you, Venus. And that Venus brings up a good point, and that's why I teach all this stuff. And I really believe that when we understand deeply how things are working in the body, we can help people better. And the mind starts to go, oh, they're complaining about this, but it may mean that, and it may mean that, and you could pull it all together. And also, I believe that our clients and our patients need to understand how the body works. Maybe not as deeply as we do, but I've found the most success with people is when they understood. I had somebody say to me one time after she'd gone through probably 6-month coaching program with me, and she was down to 123 pounds and she looked great. And she just looked at me and she smiled and she goes, "You ruined Cheetos for me." And I'm like, "Well, how do you mean?" She goes, I couldn't stay away from them. I knew they were bad for me, but I couldn't stay away from them. And she said, "But once you explained to me about those fats and trans fats and what they were doing and how they were affecting inflammation in my body, and I, every time I look at a Cheeto, I think of all that stuff and my hormones going out of whack." She said, "I can't do it." Like, yeah, way to go. That's what we want, right? We want them to be able to find it easy, because it's not that easy to completely overhaul your diet and your lifestyle, because really everything that we've been taught since we were born is most of it's wrong, right? The foods that, except the mother's milk that most of us didn't get for very long even, most of the stuff that we ate from the time on and most of the way we're taught to think, right? The news, you put the news on and you're taught fear. Well, what is fear? What's the physiology and biochemistry of fear? It's a big endocrine disruptor. It's a huge endocrine disruptor. But people think that's normal, right? You just are, aren't you afraid of that? What? Are your son's over going there? Aren't you afraid that he's this or that? I'm like, I choose not to live my life in fear. And mainly because my knowledge and research has ruined fear for me. It's like, am I going? I don't want to go there, right? Not that I don't ever go there. We all have that. But fear, true fear, is your body's physiological mechanism, and we'll talk about the stress hormone system later. But that's your body's way of protecting itself. True fear. That's a tiger. That's me. I better the heck get scared, because that's going to trigger me to do what I need to do. But this is me. And there's a bus driving out on Lamar and Mopac, and I better be careful driving my car, because what if that bus hits me? That's not true fear, that's worry. And that creates that same stress pattern as if the tiger's sitting there about to pounce,
right? And we want to take care of that. And you're going to learn all about stress hormones and how they work and mechanisms and some charts so you can kind of understand how it affects other things like fertility, like fear and fertility. Ooh, not good, not a good combination. Adrenal burnout and trying to get pregnant, it didn't work. It doesn't work, and you'll see why. And I want to share that with you. Now, I can't share everything I know about endocrinology in a weekend. Who thinks I can share everything I know about endocrinology in a weekend? You think I can? You mustn't think I know very much. I can't share it all in a weekend. But I'm pulling the best of the best of the best. And you have a resource there. Did you see your binders? Did you see how big they are? We were like, oh, I'll have to put this in there. And I'll have the next thing I know printing it, like 90 pages of handouts and then another 20 pages of assessments. And like, whoo, there's a lot of stuff there. And we will be going through it. Okay. So schedule-wise, let me just review the schedule with you. You know, what's that? I had one of those little things that we're going to have in the future. Like, you get this little thing and you stick it in your ear and it transfers it all into your brain. Wouldn't that be cool? I would love it. I would love it. You know, maybe. It might be overwhelming. Right. So you've got a schedule. We are going to try to keep as close to the schedule, but you know when you're talking about stuff, questions may come up. I don't want to cut something short if it's right. You know, if something ends early, we just have a little bit longer break. If something goes a little longer, we'll keep as close to the schedule as possible, as close as possible, because I know you need bathroom breaks. So I've scheduled no more than an hour and a half of this. Is that good? Yeah, does anybody want to sit here for 3 hours before we have a break? No. Nah, me either. So we have breaks to move and to mingle and all that. And Jan's going to share with you before our first break a little bit about how the breaks are going to go and our incentive for getting you back in your seats. But basically, we're going to be, today's the meat and potatoes, if we'll say. I don't like that. This is the, it's the heart of the physiology, biochemistry pieces that you need as a foundation. Okay? And then tomorrow is mostly on assessments. And understanding how do you, now, okay, I understand how the thyroid works now, and I understand how the adrenals work and how they interact with each other, but now what does that mean to me when I've got somebody sitting across from me? How do I assess? And I'm going to take you through a lot of the stuff that we have in the book. So today we have a lot of slides where you can look and you can take notes on the slides. Tomorrow, not so much. Tomorrow is going to be a lot more practical going through, like when you have somebody in front of you, what questions are you going to be asking? What labs might you want to be ordering? And for those, some people say to me, well, I can't run labs. I'm not a licensed whatever, whatever. You can. And I'll share with you the resources, directlabs.com. Anybody in the world can order their stuff. You just have your patient, your client, order stuff for themselves. So there's no big deal. Okay. And then tonight we have dinner. VIPs get to come to dinner. And we have a really special guest who is, I'll introduce him later. But he's funny and he's to the point and he knows herbal medicine like the back of his hand. And I saw this presentation that he did at a conference I was at and I said, I've got to get him. I've got to get him. And he's in Austin. That's why I said, oh, I've got to get him. And he just confirmed a few days ago because there was a lot of, so he's going to be there and you're going to love that. And then this evening we have Laura Fine who's going to be really going into not, after the whole heavy biochemistry of this whole thing, we are going to have her go into how you're going to learn to really connect with your person and read them. Like, are you shoveling them to, you're shoveling the information into them too fast? Are they scared? And how to read that energy and either lean in, pull back, and rein it so that they really feel the confidence in you. And that's a skill that we all need. Does everybody feel like that would be a useful skill to have? Yeah, and then this afternoon, right after lunch, to keep us moving, we've got Teresa Tapp. Is Teresa in the room? She's working on it. Teresa's amazing, and she's going to take us through some workout stuff, movement stuff that you can teach your clients that help to balance hormones. I mean, she has actually studied this stuff, like had studies done where they measured hormone levels before and after some of these exercises, specifically thyroid and adrenals, but she's got written up in a couple of books. Periconi is one, and he wrote her up all these exercises and included her exercises in the book because it balances hormones. So she's going to share some of that with us after lunch. Does that sound good? Because you've got to have tools. You have to have tools. So let me just share a few minutes about why I think, what my story is, why I'm here, what I want to get out of this weekend, and what prompted me to create this weekend and to do what I do, and why you can feel confident that I know what I'm talking about. Anybody have any lack of confidence in that I know my stuff? Okay, good. So I grew up on Kool-Aid, Franco-American, whatever that stuff is in the cans, canned vegetables, and junk. I basically grew up on. I didn't have nutrition. So much so when I was 18, 19, at a boyfriend's house, and they served dinner and there was broccoli on my plate. And I had never seen it before. I didn't know what it was, and I turned to him like this. You know when you turn to somebody and you whisper and you expect that they're going to whisper back because they realize that you don't want everybody at the table to hear because you would have said it out loud? So I said, "What is that?" Very subtly, and he shouts out, "That's broccoli. Haven't you ever had broccoli before?" And I was mortified, but I'd never had broccoli before. I had never seen it. I didn't know what it was. So fast forward to today, where almost everything I eat is green. It's a big difference. So that led me to have trouble with weight. I had bad periods. I had bad acne. But I would find myself, oh my gosh, I'm gaining weight. But I was too vain to get overweight. So then I would do the crash diet thing. And then I would get down to below my good weight. And then I would eat like a maniac, all the stuff I knew how to eat. And I'd get 5 pounds over. And then I'd go, oh, time for crash diet again, and I'd go on the crash diet. And I did this my whole teenage years. Did I know that that was bad for me? Did I know that there's a label for that? Like, it's like a mixture of anorexia and bulimia? No, I didn't know that. But that led me to, when I was in college, to have the most excruciating headaches and go to the office, the health office there, and they prescribed me Valium. Okay, did I know anything about health and medicine? No, though I trusted them. I went there trusting them, and they gave me Valium. And so when I took the Valium, the headaches went away, and then I couldn't get out of bed in the morning. I would literally have to take my bed out, my feet out, and then I'd be there like this, and I'd fall back to sleep. And I just said, I can't do this. There's got to be a better way. And then I started to develop other symptoms and all this, and I eventually found my way out of it. Asked the question, could it be my diet? They said no, and I took that as a challenge. And then I started researching and studying and decided other people need to know this. I need to share this with people. And I left my job back in the 80s. I was a computer, whatever, programmer, analyst, whatever, making really good money back in the 80s. That was what was done. I was one of the few women in that profession back then. I was doing really well. And I said, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to take these diagnostic skills that I'm using on the computers and use them on people and help people to get well, because this medical system is broken, and I realized that. And so I left and I went back to school and I got all my degrees and I just kept learning and learning and learning and putting it into practice. But when I got into practice, I thought, okay, this is great. I'm just going to go out there. And it's like it was all this information that I had from my 8 years of education that it was like, now what do I do with this? Nobody had given me a blueprint in school for, first you do this and then ask them this, and then if that happens and then you do this, and here's how to do it, and here's a handout package that you can give them to teach them this. So I would, one at a time, I would be teaching the same things over and over to people. And so eventually I just started to develop my own stuff. And over time, my colleagues, my friends who I'd gone to school with and other people I'd meet at conferences, they'd say, wow, how do you do that? Wow, you actually get your patients to stop eating sugar? How do you do that? Oh, well, you just this and that. So they'd say, well, teach me. And I'd have people calling me all the time. And like, well, I have this person, and I think there may be a hormone problem, but they're the, oh, well, why don't you look at that? Oh, what lab do I do for this? So I kept being a resource for people. And in my own practice, I was doing the one-on-one and going, I can't just keep doing it this way. I need to develop resources. So I developed, and you've seen, my online programs and webinars, and now I'm reaching thousands of people. But over those years, people kept coming to me and saying, I'm a health practitioner, I'm a health coach, I'm a this. When are you going to teach a class on how to do this? When can you teach us how to do this? And I was thinking, well, we all learned it in school together. Why don't you know it? And then I went, oh, duh. I spent the last decade pulling it together, like countless hours, creating handouts, creating forms, creating protocols. Yeah, maybe I need to teach this. So here I am. And I just envision a world where it's just brimming with people. People say to me, well, why are you training your competition? I went, competition? Do you think I can service that the people out there that need this? I can't do that single-handedly. My mission is to have that out there. I can't do it single-handedly, but I can do it through you, and I can save you the 15 years of excruciating pain and expense that I went through. Does that sound good? Would you like to shortcut that?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. So I'm gonna go through, before we delve right into the nutritional endocrinology and what all that means, what I wanna do is just share with you a few things about this weekend. We're all here, we all wanna have a feeling of safety in the room, right? So if you share something, maybe you're gonna share a fear that you have, like, oh my God, I'm scared about doing this. And you don't want that to get around. You don't want them to be posting that on Facebook that says, oh, so-and-so is scared of, you know, and so it's all confidential, right? Anything that's in this room, you can share with each other. It's confidential. Can I get an agreement on that?
Yes.
Right? Because we all want to feel safe, especially if you're getting up and sharing on a mic. And the more safe and vulnerable you are, the more you're going to learn and the more you're going to grow, okay? So that's that. I also want you to have an open mind because maybe some of the things I'm saying to you are different than what you learned in your naturopathic training or in your nursing training or IIN or wherever you've been trained. It may be, I may just fly some things out there that are a little controversial. And I also, there's some of the things I may say, I may start to speak on something, you go, oh, I already knew that. Once you say those words, I already knew that, you shut down. So maybe you knew the beginning of my sentence, but there was some pearl later on. And personally, I think that the best seminars that I go to are ones where I knew a lot, and now I know even more. There's more distinction being made. Because then I can accept it. But if it's complete, I'm just going to try to get that mic. Is that better? I want to be able to add to my data bank without having it all be new. I'll give you an example. I was at a relicensure seminar a few months ago, and it was a relicensure for chiropractors, nutritionists, MDs, nurse practitioners, and they were giving content. And they'd get up there, and one guy got up there, in half an hour talk, he had 120 slides. And he'd put it up and go, oh, and there was research that said, shh, and he put it down. And there was research that said, and he put it down. And I'm sitting there going, I guess I'll have to read this later. And I shut down. Well, what am I going to listen to him for? There was no reason to listen to him because I wasn't getting anything. He was just flashing slides up and putting him down, trying to impress us with how much he knew, and he knew a lot. But I didn't get anything out of that. So I just want you to just trust the process. If you're feeling like it's moving too slow, or if then just allow it all to sink in and see how what new things you're getting fit in. If it feels like it's going too fast, take a deep breath and ask questions. We ask that you hold your questions till the end of a session unless we've asked you, because I do interactive stuff, so I'll be asking you to raise your hand or say this or do that, because I think that the more we are interactive, the more we're going to learn. But jot down questions as we're going through. If you have a question about something I'm saying, jot it down and we'll have time to go through those questions. Is that good? Okay. The other thing is be punctual, be on time. Come back in your seats when we say it, and Jan will share with you later how we're going to give you some really good incentive to do that. That way we don't get off track. Okay. And if you're sharing, let's be brief. Get to the point. And it may be important to you that your Aunt Sarah had this disease and your Uncle Charlie had that one. It may not be relevant to the point that you're answering. So get to the point. So I'm going to ask your permission. If I find that you're wandering, it's easy to do. We all do it. If I find that you're wandering and I want you to get to the point, that I will respectfully say, Tracy, could you just bottom line that? Okay? And don't be offended if I do that. Okay? Who's okay with me doing that? Is anybody not okay with me doing that? Okay, because if you're not, I'll respect that. And I'll know that if I call on you that I'll, whatever, I don't know. Buy you a cup of tea afterwards and explain. All right. Anything else? Are we ready? You ready to jump in? Okay. Got slides. So in your book, you've got three sections. You've got the beginning section, which is the welcome and intro, and then copies of my slides. So after the schedule, you all have a copy of the schedule, so you know when breaks are approximately going to be. And then after that, there should be a section that has my slides. So go skip past the schedule, and you'll see slides, and I've put 6 per page. Now, here's what I'm going to let you know. Some of them might be a lot of information on the slide, and it may be hard to read. We're going to send you a PDF of it afterwards, okay? So we had debated, like, printing all this stuff and putting it 1 per page, and I went to a conference, and I got an idea. I thought, what we're going to do next time is we're going to give you in advance the link to the PDF, so if you have a thing, you can look at it or print it out. Or an iPad, or exactly. I did that at the conference I was at. They had it right there. But we will get you all the stuff in it afterwards. We'll get you afterwards. So take your notes on it, and then afterwards you'll have access to the thing. If you're like, I can't read what that says there, you'll have access to it, okay? Same thing with the assessments. We're going to have a page that you can go to. The assessments, because you can print them out, and you can use them with your clients, right? So we'll have access to that online that you can do too, okay? All right, so bring up the flip chart. And what I want to do is, I mentioned earlier, we have a big job here. We have a big job because people are entrusting us with their health. Oh, yeah, she's going to do that. People are entrusting us with their health, right? It's not like you just are going and you're programming a computer, and they're entrusting you with their life and their health and their family members' health and their fertility and their children. So I want us to really take that, and that's an honor and a privilege. And we need to, as a result, be in integrity about what we're offering them. So what I want to do at first is just get a sense of, and you can just popcorn this out and I'll repeat it, and this is Gretchen. Hi, Gretchen. She's going to write down, and we're going to get a list of some of the common issues that you see coming out in your clients. So fatigue or muscle spasm or whatever, just popcorn those out, just yell them out, and Gretchen's going to write them. And if you have one that somebody else already said, then that's great. So depression. Anxiety, weight gain, low sex drive, and I heard difficulty sleep, allergies, low energy. Joint pain, diabetes, acne, brain fog. Anything else? Look at the list and see if there's anything else that you see regularly or your family members experience that you'd like added to that list. Losing hair, yeah, big one. Stress and overwhelm, digestive. Cancer, weight gain. We'll say that one again. ADHD, absolutely. Addiction, whoo, big one. Sleep apnea, it's a challenging one. Autoimmune, big time. Arthritis. Lyme disease, whoo, yeah, that's a tough one. Anything else? Do we miss anything? High cholesterol. Fibromyalgia. Okay. We got diabetes. Ooh, dizziness and nausea. And vertigo, probably too. Well, vertigo would be that, yeah. Tinnitus. And you'll notice as we write these down that some of these are the language that they're going to use, right, to say, oh, I'm dizzy and I'm nauseous. And they may not say I have vertigo. Right, they may say, I'm achy. They may not say I have fibromyalgia. They may not know they have diabetes or a tendency to diabetes. They may say, I just can't get rid of this belly fat. My brain is foggy all the time. I have these swings and irritability. Right? MS, right. And before they're diagnosed. So some of these, they've already been diagnosed, and they're coming to you and saying, hey, is there an alternative way that I can manage? What can I do with diet and nutrition? And in other cases, they're going to come to you with the symptoms, and you're going to help them to see. Now, one thing I will tell you, unless you are a licensed doctor, practitioner who can diagnose, you have to be careful about using the D word, right? So you assess and you evaluate. Somebody said to me, I can't take your program because I'm not allowed to diagnose. I said, well, I am allowed to diagnose if the person's sitting in front of me. But if I'm over the internet, that's out of my scope of practice to diagnose somebody. But I have quote unquote diagnosed or assessed somebody over the phone and said, I think the problem is you have an autoimmune thyroid disease, right? That the doctors have missed for the last 15 years, and your test is telling me that you have that. So I think you need to go back to your doctor and just see if they can, you know, verify that, right? Not that the doctor necessarily is going to have anything to offer them to help with that. That's where you come in. Now, the other thing to be careful about is you're not treating them. You're not treating them for cancer or diabetes or fibromyalgia. You are offering them education and tools to help them bring their body into balance. And I would really encourage you to make sure that you get your languaging correct about that, because you don't want anybody coming to you and saying, oh, well, you're diagnosing and treating without a medical license, okay? You're not diagnosing, you're not treating, you're assessing, and you're educating them as to how they bring their body into balance. Okay, so really important. So we're going to cover most of these things. I mean, we're probably not going to talk about Lyme disease, probably not so much about MS, although we will talk about the autoimmune things and how MS can be affected by fats and nutrients. So some of these we'll be talking about, and others I'm going to make the connection with what I'm going through. So people aren't going to come to you and say, I have a thyroid problem. They may, because it's an epidemic and a lot of people know they do. But a lot of people have undiagnosed thyroid. And I have a list in the assessments that are going to help you to show there's just 22 different things that can cause this person to have thyroid problems. Not just, hey, you're hypo or you're hyper and your lab work shows normal. What do you do when the lab work shows normal? And they've been told, you have 22 symptoms of thyroid disease, but the lab says you don't have it, so you don't have a problem with your thyroid. How many have heard that before, right? All right, so I want you to be in a position where you are going to help people with thyroid much better than the people, the health practitioners in your town, unless they are educated this way. I had one person take my class called Clinical Assessment Tools for Holistic Practitioners. She was an MD moving into holistic medicine, and by the time it ended, she says, I never really understood the thyroid before. I finally understand it. She went to medical school, and she didn't really understand how the thyroid worked. So that's what you're going to get. And you're going to get, I'm going to give you as much as I can, give you tools, and show you how you can learn more. Sound good? All right, so let's get started. I mean, okay. So beginning of everything, I want to make sure that what I just told you, this is not, I'm not telling you stuff that's going to help you to cure a disease. I'm not telling you to go off medication. You'll never tell your patients to go off medication, although a lot of them will come to you and ask you that. I'm on XYZ medication. Is there a natural way that I can get off of this? So it's really important that you tell them, you know, I'm not a medical doctor and I can't take you off a medicine that I didn't put you on, but I can share with you some things that may decrease your need for that medication, and I want you to work with your doctor to lower that dose as need be. So let your doctor know. And I always put this, you're welcome to take it when you get the slides and you have it in there, that text, and put a disclaimer like that on everything you give people. If you have a website, you put it on your website. If you have an intro letter, whatever, to just let them know. This is education from me to you so that nobody comes back to you. Every single presentation I've done online, who's been to my presentations online? Seen the slide before? A few times? A few dozen times? Right. Important. So day one is about just understanding the whole interconnections, how it all works together, how the different pieces of the endocrine system work together. So what brings them to you? That's this, right? They're all coming for a different reason, and they may not know what's really wrong with them, and that's where you're coming in, and that's where some of the tools that I'm going to offer you are going to help. Some of them are so easy, right? Just quit eating M&Ms and smoking cigarettes and I bet you'll feel better in a few days, right? And then other times you're doing everything you've learned how to do and it's not, or they're already doing some of the things that you would recommend. So it's a matter of understanding those complex cases, and you're going to have a ton of tools to be able to really dig in with those complex cases. Because what do you feel like when those people come in? Like, help! And I remember not that long ago, I remember like maybe 8 or 10 years ago, I'd sitting across from somebody and I'm reading what they had to say. And I've been to 14 naturopaths and 3 acupuncturists and 2 functional medicine MDs and 4 conventional MDs, and I've been put on this and that and the other thing. And I'm not getting better, and I'd be like, oh, get me out of here. What am I going to do? But then as I went through, I realized I was going through a much more systematic, thorough assessment. And I thought, well, did they talk to you about this? I'm figuring they were going to say, yeah, of course. I said, well, did they talk to you about this? And no. Did they talk to you about that? I'm like, really? They didn't tell you? Are you eating gluten? Yeah. They didn't tell you to get off gluten? No, I had a celiac test and it was normal, so I'm not off gluten. Don't you know those things aren't accurate? So, and then I was able to help these people. And I have somebody in the room who was like that, and she's going to share with you tomorrow some of her experience of all the practitioners she'd been to, and nobody was able to help her, okay? So that's where I want you to shine, because when you shine there, then everybody's going to say, you got to go see Mary. She helped me with this thing, and nobody else was able to help me. And then it gets around. It doesn't mean you don't have to market yourself and you sit there and the phone rings off. It doesn't work that way either. I thought it would, but it doesn't. But, and we have a tool for you I'm going to give you tomorrow that's going to help you at that part too. So, nutritional endocrinology, I just want to share with you how this term and how I started calling it. This was a very recently label that I came up with. But it's something I've been doing for the last 20 years. So I was having my surgery done and I decided I'm not having general anesthesia. There's no way they're going to intubate me and put me out. You do whatever you have to do a local. So I got a local anesthetic, shot in the arm, blah, blah, blah. And I'm laying there going to the anesthesiologist, well, we have another hour and a half to go here. What are we going to talk about now that we're finished talking about our kids and baseball and all that? So I said, well, ask me anything you want about nutrition. And I can talk to you for 3 or 4 hours. And the whole thing will be over. I'll be distracted. And he just laughed and he said, oh, well, what branch of nutrition are you most interested in? Nobody had ever asked me that because we don't talk about branches of nutrition. We talk about branches of medicine, right? Oh, I'm an endocrinologist, a urologist, or whatever. And I said, oh, wow, what a great question that is. We're going to learn later, tomorrow especially, the power of questions, right? And I said, oh, I think my most favorite is in nutritional endocrinology. And it just came out, and then I went, oh, that's what I do. Right? That's what I've been doing for all these years. Years ago, someone said to me, she's kind of a marketing coach, and she said, you got to pick a niche. And I said, well, I can help everybody, but you got to pick somebody. I want you to focus on hormones. And when she said that, I was thinking, I just don't want to deal with menopause. I just don't want that to be the only thing I'm working with. Just like all day long, menopausal women? Come on, I want something different than that. So I said, yeah, I'll work on fatigue. So, fatigue is more broad, and there's all these things you have to dig into for fatigue. And then it hit me. I've been doing hormones, because what's fatigue? Adrenals, thyroid, the blood sugar, all of those are hormones. And then the more I delved into it, it's not just those obvious things that are hormones. Wait till you see this afternoon some of the charts I have for you. It's everything is hormones. So endocrinology is considered a subspecialty of medicine. Endocrinology is not a subspecialty, really. Like urology, it's kind of a subspecialty. You're working on the kidneys, right? But endocrinology it's everything. And if someone goes to a specialist for like digestive problems and they just work on their digestive system without looking at the whole picture, they're missing it because the hormones control the digestion. Where do you see the chart I have on digestive endocrinology? Hormones control everything. So we are at the forefront. And that doesn't mean that you have to know everything. That it is a good idea to have a specialty. You want to work with with the moms of the kids, you know, and you want to work with women who are trying to get pregnant. And it's great to do that. But the problem with specialists in medicine is they know this much. And I've worked with people who've come in on polypharmacy, and they're on like 5 different medicines, and they're all causing, and I'm like, who gave you this medicine, and who gave you this? Does this doctor know that you're on this? Oh, no, that's my urologist, and this one was my dermatologist, and this one was my rheumatologist. And they're not talking to each other, and they're seeing the body this way. Did anybody ever see the thing, the story about the seven men and the elephant or whatever? It's a very funny story. So there's a picture of an elephant, right? The three blind men and an elephant, right? And so blind men goes up, they can't see the whole thing, right? So they're just feeling. And somebody feels the trunk and like it feels like a snake. An elephant must be this long, stringy, snake-like thing. And another one goes up to the leg and go, wow, it's like an elephant is like a tree trunk, right? And another one goes to the tail. Ooh, it's wispy and soft. It's like feathers. And none of them had the big picture. They're seeing the elephant through this eye, this lens. And wherever you put the lens is what you see. And you don't see the big picture. Nutritional endocrinology is going to pull it all together. And it's going to pull together the hormones. Those are the gland. Those are the major glandular systems of the body on the left-hand side, with the environment and the food and what you put in. And just right from the start, I want to say, nutrition in my term here is not just the food you eat. It's everything that nourishes you. So thoughts, emotions, energy, movement, all of those things are what nourish you, and that's what nutrition is. And it's the interplay between that and the endocrine system that either makes a person healthy or not healthy, right? And if we ignore the connections, and if we ignore the nutritional piece, and we just look at the glands and we say, oh, you need an anti-inflammatory for that, or you need a hormone replacement here. I'm not anti-hormone replacement, just for the record. People always ask me, are you against hormone replacement? I said, no. I'm against hormone replacement in an isolated, oh, you have that symptom. Oh, you have hot flashes. Here you go. Here's some hormone replacement, right? Because it really has to be factored in, like the foods. And we're going to talk about how foods affect the endocrine system, how foods affect your hormones, how nutrient deficiencies and excesses affect your hormones. We're going to talk about how the environment affects your hormones, the endocrine disruptors, right? So that's what nutritional endocrinology is, and that's what we're going to spend our weekend together learning about. Does that sound exciting?
Yes?
Yes? Yes? Woohoo! And you'll know that. So nutritional endocrinology encompasses functional medicine assessments, and I'll define what that is in a second, with the gifts that nature has given us. Right? It's not just functional medicine and here's a whole bunch of pills. Like, oh, you have vitamin A deficiency and C deficiency and D deficiency and here you go. It's about taking the functional medicine tools. And functional medicine is a branch of medicine, new branch of medicine over the last 15, 20 years. I was going to functional medicine programs back in probably early 90s, starting in the early 90s. And it's great because you go into how the body works and then looking at it, not the body and health as a treatment of disease, but as a restoration of balance. So it's assessing in a functional manner, not like, oh, you have a tumor there, but, oh, you have this chemical is out of balance and that is a precursor to this particular nutrient that you need to make this particular neurotransmitter. And so the reason you have depression is not a Prozac deficiency, maybe it's a B6 deficiency, right? Or a specific set of amino acids or protein deficiency. And then you go, okay, now I've assessed and I know where the imbalances are, and then it's a matter of understanding the hierarchy of putting things in place to fix it. And that doesn't mean that you just assume that everybody that has depression has a B6 deficiency, or that you assume that everybody that has, but you're pulling together their symptoms, their signs, and lab results to say, oh, here's a few little things that you can do to start. And here's how we're going to go. So what functional medicine is not is a prescription. And whether that prescription be vitamin B12 or Prozac, just having it be, okay, here's your prescription, is not functional medicine. It's not nutritional endocrinology, right? It's helping people to make the lifestyle changes and the choices every day that build their body. So these are all the things that go into it, right? Wouldn't you love it if you got this prescription for broccoli from the doctor when you went in for your depression? Like, oh yeah, you just need some broccoli. Here you go, right? That's the future. Your toolbox is broad. May not be so broad now, but My goal is to broaden your toolbox. And there's a few things in that toolbox that I don't particularly think are good. Does this work? Okay, there's some things in there I would take out of the toolbox, right? But that's the only picture of a toolbox I could find that had all those cool fruits and veggies and all that. And not everybody is going to respond well to the same things. So somebody will say, well, I don't understand it. How could diet help me? I've been on a macro diet or a raw diet for the last whatever years, and it's not working. I haven't lost weight or whatever. And it's a matter of the proportion that you're going to find in there. And as we talk about blood sugar balance and adrenal balance, it's really a matter of identifying for each of your people what works. Somebody might do great on a macrobiotic diet. Another person might do great on a paleo diet. If you were to swap the diets between the two person, both of those people might crash, right? So you're going to help with that. And we'll talk about food religions, of the whole concept of food religions. Okay, so these are all the things that are going to go into it. Whoops. History, genetics. Genetics is big, and we have a speaker tomorrow. Michaeline is Michaeline in the room? There you go. Oh, there you are. Michaeline is going to talk about genetics tomorrow and the methylation pathways and how it affects your ability to detox and how that affects the hormones. Big topic, hot topic. Touch, thoughts. People underestimate, you know? What hormone gets stimulated by touch? Anybody know? Oxytocin, you're a smart group. There you go. Thoughts, environment, relationships, nutrition, emotions, labs, energy. And Laura's going to hit on the energy movement, and so is Artemis. And he's going to connect the emotions with the glands and which specific emotions might have glandular sections, glandular effects. So that's pretty cool to know when you're doing an assessment of somebody. It may not be they're looking and going, their diet is so clean, and they're exercising, and they're coming from fear. Or they're coming from hostility or grief, and that can be affecting them. Those of you who come from a Chinese medicine background really get that as well. So at the heart, I believe, of just about every condition that we've listed up here, with maybe the exception of Lyme, because that, I don't know, I'm debating that one, but just about every one of those conditions have a hormonal imbalance at the heart. And if we understand how all this works and you can identify that and then have protocols to bring those things into balance, and you're going to be in good shape. How are we doing on time? We're good. By the end of the weekend, you'll have this slide memorized. Who's up for that? I don't have this chart memorized. These are as many hormones as I can think. There's dozens of hormones in our body. These are the major ones, some of which you've already heard about. Who's heard of cortisol? Who's heard of testosterone? Who's heard of CCK? A few of you. Somatostatin. A few of you. Some of the medically trained ones, right? Where's one that maybe, there's one that most of you have. Oh, HCG. Yeah, we know what that is. So some of these are, you're listing, you probably know most of these. I don't have the really obscure. Ah, who's heard of this one? Natriuretic peptide. Yeah, our nurses. Great. All right, so these are all the hormones. There's interplays between them. We're not going to study all of these this weekend. But I have some really cool charts, because what I think about in terms of hormones is not just knowing, oh, this hormone does this, let's balance it, is they work together. And when we talk about like adrenal hormones, or we talk about thyroid hormones, or we talk about reproductive hormones, they have their effects not just there. They have their effects all over. So for example, let's say dopamine. Dopamine's a neurotransmitter in the brain, but it's a hormone when it gets into the bloodstream, and it has effects on the digestive tract, and we'll see that in other places as well. So it's what I'm trying to get at is we can't compartmentalize, right? We can't just compartmentalize. So even if you are a specialist in a specific kinds of conditions that you want to work with, or a specific demographic of people, you still need to have the big picture of how it all fits together, right? Make sense? So we're going to study these hormones, but I do want to talk, before we get into specific hormones, is how they work. Does anybody need a definition of what a hormone is? I'm going to give it to you anyway, but I just want to know how, does everybody know what a hormone is? Does anybody want to shout out what your understanding of what a hormone is?
Chemical messenger?
Chemical messenger, exactly. It's a chemical messenger that basically brings a message, signal from one part of the body to another. So it gets secreted from a gland, gets secreted into the bloodstream, and generally has its effects in a different part of the body. And so the way it works is that over here on the left, we have the secreting cell, the cell that actually produces and squirts the cell, the hormone into the bloodstream. Okay, goes into the bloodstream. Some of them are bound to carriers, protein carriers, and they're usually called binding globulins. They get carried through the bloodstream. They get separated off from their binding globulin, and then they reach the target cell. And if you look, you see this shape. Okay, we've got a shape on the receptors on the cells where it's going to that matches the shape of that hormone. So every cell in your body has receptors for a variety of hormones. We have thyroid receptors. We have insulin receptors. Every cell needs thyroid receptors. Why? Because it affects the metabolic rate. Every cell needs insulin receptors to help to get the sugars into the cell. Every cell, most cells, a lot of cells have progesterone receptors. So all the hormones have receptors for their signal. And it binds, and then it does its thing, okay? When we're looking to understand what's going wrong, we need to understand several things. We need to understand who produced the hormone. Is it making enough? Why is it making not enough if it doesn't have it? Is it missing the substrates, the building blocks, right? If you're going to build a house, and you don't have bricks, and you don't have wood, and you don't have cement, what are you going to build it out of, right? So if your thyroid needs specific nutrients to create thyroid hormone and it doesn't have those nutrients, it ain't going to build you the hormone. But you may have all those substrates, but there's something actually wrong with the thyroid. It's internally not making it, okay? It could be that there's an autoimmune process going on, and that can be for any hormone in the body, any gland, an autoimmune process which is attacking it, right? So we're going to be looking at, do we have enough substrate to make the hormone? Is there something wrong with the gland that's supposed to make it? Is it not making enough, or is it not secreting enough? Is there an issue with the binding globulins that carry it around? Maybe there's too many of those. We see that a lot with when people are on birth control pills, and it affects their thyroid because the birth control pills cause increase in the thyroid binding globulins. So we have all this bound up thyroid floating through the system, but it's not getting separated out because there's too much of the binding globulins. So there's a lot of things, and when we look at thyroid in particular, we're going to look at 22 different things that can cause your thyroid to not right, or your client's thyroid not to be working properly. But the big one that I think is overlooked a lot is receptor resistance. Hugely overlooked. And we hear it in insulin resistance. Who's heard of insulin resistance? Anybody not ever hear of insulin resistance? Okay. Who's ever heard of estrogen resistance? Few. It's recent. They're recently finding, we're finding cells that are estrogen resistance, adrenaline resistance, thyroid resistance. One of the biggest overlooked problems with people who appear to have thyroid problems but their lab tests are normal, thyroid resistance, the receptor cell resistance. And I'll just throw in a little bit about our relationships here. Guess what is one of the most damaging things to those thyroid receptors on cells? Cortisol, thank you. You've been in my classes before. Yes, cortisol. High levels of cortisol. Cortisol is the stress hormone. So you're sitting there watching the news and you're listening to the news on the way into work and you're constantly bombarding your system with extra cortisol and the thyroid receptors get bonked. You want to be able to get to that heart of that with a client. You know, they come in and they say, I've been on Synthroid or Naturethroid or Armour Thyroid for 15 years, and it ain't getting better. Nothing's changing. The levels in my blood look different, but I still have all the same symptoms. And the doctor says, well, your levels are fine. Ain't nothing we can do about it. And you can say, well, there are some things that we can do about it. because you probably have receptor resistance. That's the classic receptor resistance case. All the signs, perfect labs, even after you do autoimmune. We'll talk about that when we do the thyroid testing. So hormones affect everything. It's an entangled relationship. And one of the things I tried, and I'll share after the break, a chart that I put together in my humble attempt to establish all the relationships without there just being a bunch of arrows covering everything up on the slide. But hormones affect everything. And we are going to get to the heart of how to do that. And if you looked at that big chart that I showed you earlier, right, it's just a mass of hormones. So what we're going to be doing is breaking them down into hormone families. And we're going to work with the families. But hormones affect appetite and digestion. There's a whole bunch of hormones that affect it. I showed you a few of them on there, CCK, somatostatin, secretin, gastrin. However, some of the common hormones that you've heard of before, cortisol affects digestion, dopamine, serotonin affect digestion. Hormones affect digestion. So if you just go and say, oh, well, you have candida, go on this candida protocol, may not be enough to help them with a digestive problem. We've got the nervous system. Right? The nervous system, your thoughts, your emotions, your sleep patterns. It's a huge array of hormones that go into that. Blood sugar, big time. Who's from done IRSPT with me? Right? We talk a lot about blood sugar, and we talk about the hormones, right? We talk about the hormones, the balance, the intricate connections. Big time with blood sugar. And in my opinion, blood sugar imbalance is one of the biggest overlooked things, that if you can get the blood sugars balanced in your clients, you've established just such a base of healing for them, right? Not that that's the cure-all. There's no such thing as a cure-all, but I've seen issues go away. I had one person who joined my Before Be Gone program, which is my blood sugar balancing program for the general population, and she'd been told that she was going to have to go on medication for her high blood sugar probably in 6 months because it was at 119, which is right at the edge, and she needed to just go out and live her life. Continue to live your life because it's going to cause it to go up and get worse, and then when it's worse, we'll put you on medication. And something about that just said to her, this is a warning sign. What do I do? And she ended up finding me in my program, and she went through it. But unbeknownst to her, she said, I'm just going to do everything you tell me to do in this because I don't want to be on diabetes medication on top of all my other medications. So she had been on high blood pressure medication and thyroid medication, and she just had a hip replaced. So she went through and she did beautifully, and she ended up losing, by the time, she's lost about over 90 pounds by now, but 70-something pounds inside of 4 months. And she went to a doctor. She just moved, and she was in a new town, so she couldn't go back to the same doctor, which was a blessing for her because the same doctor is like, oh. So she looked at her, and she looked at the chart, and she said, you don't look like the same person. This says you have panhypopituitarism, which means all your endocrine system, your pituitary shut down, which means that all your endocrine glands are going to be shut down. It says you have Hashimoto's. It says that you have prediabetes, and you look healthy. You look good. Let's just take you off of everything for a month and come back in a month and we'll test to see if you need any of the medication. Brilliant, brilliant, right? Most doctors won't do that. She goes back in a month, retests. Her Hashimoto's was gone. Her blood pressure was normal, and her blood sugar, fasting blood sugar, was like 82. And she said to her, you don't need any medication. She goes, you must have been misdiagnosed. There's this woman who'd worked so hard for 4 months, right? Changed everything. Her thoughts, her mood. You must have been misdiagnosed. And she said, sorry. And she always carries her green smoothie when she goes to the doctor to get blood testing done because she fasts and then she drinks her green smoothie. And she says, no. And she said, this is part of it. And if you ever want me to tell you all that I did to get this, I'll share it with you. She goes, you were just misdiagnosed and sent her on her way. But the light at the end of the tunnel there, because you never know who you're going to affect. She went back to her doctor, her orthopedic surgeon who'd done the hip surgery for her 6 month or 1 year thing. And he went and he looked at it. He goes, you know, I tell everybody to lose weight, but you're the only one that's ever done it. And she goes, yeah. And he says, oh, what's your secret? So again, she pulls out of her bag. Here you go. I've been drinking these, and I have all this other stuff. And he was like, what is that? And she gave him some recipes. Then she went back in for her six-month follow-up after that. She looked at him, and he'd lost weight. And she says, oh my gosh, you look great. You lost weight, what'd you do? He goes, I just followed what you told me to do. I've been drinking those green smoothies every day. And I'm telling all my patients about them. So you never know when you're going to hit somebody who has that big, wide, open mind and heart, and especially when like that guy's doing surgeries all the time. He's seeing people all the time. The impact, it's a ripple effect. It's like on the viral videos on YouTube, right? Like bloop, bloop, bloop. So don't push your stuff down people's throat, but just open conversations, and you never know the ripple effect that it's going to have people. You're saving lives every day. I know that. Just because of what you're doing and what you're sharing and what you're helping with. So give yourselves a big hug. And just give yourself that acknowledgement that you are in the right place. And through this weekend, we're going to deepen that understanding and that knowledge. And I think we have one more. Yep. So we're going to take a break, but we have about 2 minutes. If there's any questions, I can take 2 minutes of questions, and then I'm going to bring, we have 5 minutes, so I'm going to give Jan some time. So 2 minutes for questions, and then Jan's going to share with you some amazing stuff we're going to do to get you back from break on time. So, any? Yes, and stand up, Mike. Wait, when you raise your hand, wait for the mic. Stand up, hold the mic, face people as much as you can.
Hi. So my question is, you mentioned dopamine is a neurotransmitter.
Yes.
When it goes into the blood system, it becomes a hormone. So is there a way to describe what the difference is between a neurotransmitter and a hormone?
Yes. Great. Great question. A neurotransmitter is generally secreted at the end of one neuron to send a signal to the next neuron. So in the way our nervous system works, it's not just one long nerve from like the brain to the hand. There's a series of nerves. And the way that we get the signal from here to there is this nerve transmission. So this, it's called a synapse, the space between the ends of the nerves. And so one nerve puts the hormone, the neurotransmitter into the synapse, the next nerve picks it up, signals it down, and it keeps going. A hormone then is a signal that gets secreted into the bloodstream. And so when the dopamine gets into the bloodstream, it gets to travel around and find places that it can help and send a signal to. So digestive tract, constriction of blood vessels, etc. Does that get it? Yeah, great question. Thank you for helping me to distinguish that right at the start. Any other things like that, like terminology things that we've gotten that need to be cleared up? Yes?
Where's your hand, please?
Raise your hand up high if you have a question. No? Okay. She was just scratching her head. Okay, so I'm going to bring Jan up. And Jan is going to, she introduced herself earlier, right? Jan is just amazing. I met Jan 2 years ago when she joined Before Be Gone. And she joined Before Be Gone to help herself with her belly fat. Okay? It was there. So Jan then was so excited about it that she wanted to do my next program after that. And she had some issues going on in her life where she said, just can't right now, my daughter. Blah, blah, blah. Is there any way I can help you and give back? And these are the things I could do. And I said, okay, we'll give it a try. And she did. And she was amazing. And we just hired her. We said, no. She goes, well, I've done all my barter hours. And she says, well, I want to do your practitioner training because I was just introducing my year-long energy recharge practitioner training. I want to do that too, so add that on to my tab, and I'll work that off. And she did that. And
indentured servitude.
Yeah, and she'll tell you more about that tomorrow. We gave her a spot to talk about. But she basically did that, and then she ran out of that time very quickly because she was so good and she was doing all these things that had fallen through the cracks. And so we hired her. And she's one of my top practitioners in the program, and she's like really grasping it. And she said, I'm only doing the practitioner program because I want to help my family. I have 4 daughters. I'm going to have grandchildren. I just want to learn this stuff. And then she tells us how she's coaching people at the gym, and she's charging them money to do that, and she's got 2 more people than she can handle in the time she has. And so you never know where it's going to go, right? You never know. So anyway, tell them about the logistic. Oh, goodie bags. Tell them about what's in the goodie bags.
Oh, okay, yes, we have some great sponsors. Health Force Nutritionals, amazing, in your goodie bag. Yeah.